Blog Talk Radio.
This week on The Conversation, we're going to discuss this country moving forward after a Republican tidal wave in the midterms. Also, are there morals and values in either party? What does either party even stand for? Can anyone tell me? I know Glenn Beck on his program, most people didn't even know. They couldn't even, what do we do? Where do we go? They had no idea. Also, not many people know this. In California, there is a big lawsuit over the scheduling of how marijuana is scheduled as a Schedule 1 drug. Plus, the Reds are starting to live up to their name, the Reds, because they keep getting freaking red cards. Smalling cost us the Derby. That and more as the conversation begins. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 147, 5. Welcome to the conversation, folks, and the one-hour format that I'm looking into doing full-time here, possibly. What a night for nerds like me. I love politics. I'm like Dana from The Blaze. I'm like a political nerd. I love it. It just fascinates me. And when you look at where we go with this country, how do we go forward when both parties are going in the wrong direction? How do we change? Yeah, Democrats lost and Republicans won. That's great. But like Rachel Maddow said on a show, I was watching her on MSNBC, see what they're talking about. And she's like, well, talking about how, like, here's this transparent president that Republicans are now not going to work with, because if you saw the sign when they gave their like response to the elections and yada yada yada, and the first thing on top is it says stop Obama, and they're not going to work with Obama and all this, and you know, and during the election night Obama said I'm going to pass amnesty no matter what. I'll use executive order if I have to. I got a pen, I will use it. What's basically going to happen and come down the line, folks, Obama's going to pass whatever radical agenda he wants to. Okay? He's going to do it. Point blank. And once he does that, Republicans are going to have to try to find a way to respond to these executive orders. Democrats are going to sit back and say, we're Democrats, we don't have control of the House or Senate, we can't do anything. Sorry, folks. Which makes me sick. And Republicans are going to be blamed unless they take the right steps. And what's going to happen is Obama's going to cram through all this radical agenda stuff. And you know what's going to happen? Hillary Clinton's going to come in here with her progressive liberal agenda, and she's going to be looking like a moderate. And everyone's going to say, well, remember how I'd give my right arm to go back to when Clinton was president, and I would right now, but when you go back to that time frame, it wouldn't be better. If you look at the top 10 of my favorite movies, 3 or 4 of them have Robin Williams in them. And my favorite one of my all-time favorites is The Man of the Year, where he plays like a Jon Stewart character that becomes president because of a voting machine glitch. Gee, like we don't have those. But he says it best when they're at the debate and he goes, well, you got the Republican Party and you got the Democratic Party. Here's the operative word, party, because when it's behind closed doors, there has to be a bar somewhere. You know, I've traveled overseas. I know what it's like to come back. Okay, sir. Okay, Mr. Wilkert. It's Wilkraut. Okay, Mr. Wilkraut. Okay, how long were you in Italy? 14 days. Okay, so are you bringing anything back? What was the nature of the business that you were in Italy for, sir? Well, we're opening up a restaurant called Bonavitino and Italian Eatery, and, you know, we did a food and wine tour and all this. Okay, are you bringing back any fresh fruits or vegetables that, oh, wait, you can't do that, sir, so you have to hand those over, and you're trying to enter the country legally, and they're asking all these tough questions. Meanwhile, people are coming across the border from Mexico into Texas, and they're bringing California King mattresses and five-piece living room sets. Where's the irony? We don't want to have an illusion of protection. We want to have protection. I want to have Mexicans or anyone else be able to become a citizen legally, the right way. If you just, okay, bam, we're going to take all these 20 million people. They're legal. Are the people that are going through the process that have 2 years left to become a citizen, are they not going to become a citizen? Are they going to have to still wait 2 years? Or are they going to be magically a citizen like everyone else? And are they going to understand our knowledge? Are they going to know, hell, most of the people in this country who won the war for us to gain the independence? We won the war to gain independence, per se, which we did. Who did we win the war against? Who did we fight to win our independence? That's easy, man. Germany, man. You know, because Hitler's controlling us and the whole world, and we defeated him. It wasn't Hitler, you moron. It was China. China? Russia? That's the answers they give. I think one person said the UK, Britain. That's why it's called the New England States up there, because they were the New England. That's why we have guns to protect ourselves from the government trying to oppress us, the British government. The same thing that they're trying to do now, only it's our own government. That's why we have the separation of church and state, so the state won't run our churches and say what we can and cannot talk about in a sermon. If you want to marry someone, you should have that right. If you don't want to marry someone, you should have that right. Whether they're gay, not, straight, bi, well, it don't matter. If you want to make them a wedding cake, you should be able to. If you don't want to make someone a wedding cake, you shouldn't have to. It didn't have to be just because they're gay. It shouldn't. But this country is fundamentally being transformed and has been. The key is, how do we move forward? When you look at something, say, this country, where are our morals? Where are our values? I believe something's coming down the line. I can't say what it is. Glenn Beck can't say what it is. Sean Hannity couldn't. Something's going to come in form of economics, whether it's a collapse or something. And how we're going to be stronger when this thing ends. But how do we move forward? This country is going to be defined by the content of its character. How we rise above from all this ridiculousness of gimme, 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 spend, 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 spend. I know how I feel. Politics isn't going to change. Obama administration officials are in the major news networks, but Fox News and vice versa. There are ABC people that are now in Obama's administration and vice versa. It's nice to see some of these AP officials finally saying, screw this. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I don't care. When Obama was speaking in Connecticut and those people were heckling him, his own people, his own followers. Scary. He had no control over them. People are starting, the ones that follow any type of political anything, watch the news at all, are starting to see through him. Here we go. I'm reading the teleprompter again. It's the exact same speech every time. Well, we're going to work together. I'm going to do what I need to ensure that we create jobs in this country and get this country going in the right direction. I know I've said this stuff for the past 6 years, but it's finally going to change this time. I really do mean it. I really mean that we are going to have transparency, even though we haven't had it since I've been here. But we're going to have this transparency because I know it's going to be here. Trust me. You're really going to believe him for the 100? Okay? Like the boy who cried wolf. Eventually, you're going to believe there's no wolf there. And people are finally not starting to believe him. But what do they care? The Democrats have left him. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to. Basically, respond to anyone. He doesn't have to look up to anyone and like, well, if I do this, he's going to get mad at me. He doesn't have to do nothing. He can do whatever he wants. Who's watching his back? No one. No one does he have to look up to and sit there and be like, okay, well, this is my boss. He is the boss. It's scary. But the what's going to change this country, and what I want to get into for a little bit, is how do we change this country? How do we go forward? They said on Fox News in 2012, no one can get elected on the basis of ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We need to do that. In 2009, when those people in Georgia were fighting over a piece of paper that might guarantee them help with a place to live, why don't they say, you know what we're going to do? You go to Home Depot, you go to Furrow's, you go to Lowe's, you go to Ace, you go here, you talk to Habitat for Humanity. We're going to build this apartment complex ourselves for us to live in because we're going to take care of it better because we built it. I'm going to talk to contractors, whether a union or not. I'm going to figure out where we can have a space to put this. I'm going to talk to some people, some electrical contractors, you know, real journeyman electricians, and say, hey, would you come over and just when we do this, can you make sure it's done right and it's up to code and everything? And we're going to have a place that we lived in, we made. We're not going to rely on the government. We're going to render them useless. More people are on welfare than at any time in history. Blacks are poorer than any time in this history, but people don't want to hear it. Whatever. You're just a Republican. Whatever. It's the content of our character. What sets us apart? How are we going to sit there and say, okay, let's bring back this, you know, like in, I forget where that town was in Ohio, where they had like a company shut down, and like that was like 90% of the jobs in the town. They said, okay, we're going to do this ourselves. We're not going to rely on the government. They have a 24-hour prayer room. You can go and pray at any time. They have a soup kitchen that keeps its, without the government, keeps its shelves filled. Every day they go in there and they pray for full shelves. There was a guy who he bought 100 gift cards to hand out to people for free pizza so that they'd have something to eat. People came together. This country was built not on the government, but on the people. The people built this country. There was no government when they built this country. There was no government when Christopher Columbus came over here and settled here and started the colonies in Roanoke, Virginia, and all that. There was no government. Government does not create jobs. It doesn't create jobs. It gets in the way. Government gets in the way of creating jobs. People don't want to hear a lot of this stuff. There's so many people that just, oh, whatever. It's never going to change, no matter what. I mean, it's the same thing all the time. I don't know. I don't even waste my time. I don't vote. Well, you can't complain about the country, or most people I know that don't really vote or aren't involved don't know what's going on anyway, so what does it matter? You know, they don't have any vested interest. I do because I'm a political nerd. I love politics. I love this. I love watching and seeing the races and seeing who does what and what, you know, and it fascinates me. That's why I watch MSNBC from time to time to see what they're saying. What are they talking about? Is there something that, hey, maybe she's saying something that, like, why is, what? There you go, you know. I agree with that. Very rare, but I remember during the last election, I forget what the whole topic was, but it was like, oh, Romney talked about something. He made a comment about like the 60%, like the 1/3% of the nation or whatever. And it was like somebody snuck the recorder and with like a iPhone recorded him saying this, you know, hidden. And it was like going to be the doom of Romney. And I remember on the Lawrence O'Donnell show, he goes, all they're going to do is play this video over and over and over and over and over again, and Obama's in for sure. And I'm like screaming at the TV like a madman. How is that going to solve anything? All we have to do is play this video of Hillary Clinton and she won't become president. Well, that's great, but if the Republican doesn't do anything when he comes into office, how's that going to solve anything? I just played this video around me over and over and over again. Obama's in for sure. Well, and that's going to solve our nation's problems, our $17 trillion in debt. Are having no morals or values or standards anymore. I remember when they wouldn't even show Elvis on TV, his waist down, because that was considered lewd. Now you see Madonna on TV with pine cones for breasts and humping the couch and Miley Cyrus doing all kinds of, okay, I'm always going to look at Miley Cyrus as Hannah Montana, the 12-year-old. Get over it. We all are. That is your stigmatic character. Just like I'm not going to look at Tom Wopat ever again as Bo or Luke Duke. You know, I'm never going to look at, for me, there's, you know, Todd Bridges is always going to be Different Strokes. Well, the world will move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for some is not right for none. You know, there's characters that are, you're always going to be that Brady. You're always going to be Greg, Marsha, whatever. You're always going to be that Brady. I'm always going to think of you as that Brady. I'm always going to think of you as Hannah Montana. Get over it. Having purple hair and stripping in front of TV isn't going to fix anything. Yeah, I have romance in my relationship with my fiance. We do. But that's our bedroom. That's our closed door. I don't want to see that on TV. I don't care if Hannah Montana wants to change and be psycho, that's fine. Do it on your own time. Come out with purple hair and say, yep, I don't want to be Hannah Montana or known as anymore. I'm on cocaine and heroin now. Great. Now go to rehab and then write your book. Where are our morals and values and principles in this world? You can have fun in the bedroom, but leave it there, folks. I don't want to see it on the CMAs or the GMAs or whatever you want to call them. The TNAs or ANAs, whatever. Whatever music award, TV thing. And that's where we're at. You know, where are our morals and values in this world, and where are they going? That's my dog's barking. Welcome. And when you look at where we can go forward with this, God is a big, integral part of this world that's going to bring us back, because that's what brought us here. We wanted to be a nation that was founded on a base of freedom of Christian religion, and that's going to bring us back. I don't expect you to not, you can be atheist, that's fine. but respect my beliefs. I told my girl, listen, this is the best analogy. World War II people fought for that cross. Leave it there. How am I forcing you into Christianity with that cross? Okay? If I get dressed and you see me getting undressed and getting dressed because I forgot to close my blinds, my problem, folks. I'm sorry. But 40 minutes later, if you're still watching me, that's your problem, not mine. It is. I'm not, there are 364 other degrees you can look besides that cross. And why are you, why does that offend you? To me, you ripping that out offends me. Covering it over offends me. I'm not pushing anything on you, but you're pushing your belief on me. Oh, you can believe in God, but that church, that offends me. You gotta remove that church. Well, how is that? How is removing a cross not infringing on my right to practice Christianity? I'm not asking you to do anything. You don't believe in it? Well, then don't worry about it. Shouldn't even bother you. But that's where we go. Okay, I want to move on a little bit to, not many people know this. There's an actual court ruling. I got to bring this up really if I can get this. This is great. More Floridians, or I don't know how you call a Florida resident. More of them voted for medical marijuana than voted for Governor Scott. But prohibition, I think, is coming to an end because there is a federal hearing that is challenging marijuana prohibition. And this is on the High Times magazine. And there was a 5-day hearing that a federal judge allowed to determine whether the Schedule I classification of making marijuana a dangerous drug and all this and having no medical benefits is actually constitutional. Because actually, in 1970, when Richard Nixon said, hey, this needs to be a Schedule I drug, it's dangerous, he was going against his own people. And actually, in 96, I think it was, or 94, Bill Clinton had his advisors come together, and his advisors would study this. And they studied marijuana, and he came back, why is this even illegal? This is the safest therapeutic drug known to man. It can change this country around. We don't want to hear it. And they threw him out. They don't want to hear it. And the only thing they can really say now is that it has a high liability of abuse. That's only real because they have said that, yes, they believe there is medical value in cannabis. But the reason why it's illegal is because it could eliminate our dependence on oil and fossil fuels. It can, if you grew it instead of cotton, you would get 10 times more product for textiles and paper and ethanol. And you can get the CBD version, grow it, and extract the CBD out of it and use the fiber. It makes a biodegradable plastic. That's why it's illegal. And it won't be till the first of the year that this court case is even, where they come out with the verdict on it and all this. And it's very controversial because it's going to make this marijuana movement go forward or backwards. It really is. And I think it's going to actually, I mean, we have had more positive marijuana this election in the midterm than ever. And I think a lot of states are going to sit there and say, hey, look at what Colorado's doing. Look at what Oregon's doing. Look at what Washington's doing. Look at what Colorado's doing. Look what all these states are doing. And they're having all this positive impact. And there's no side effect. And I think it's a game changer. I really do. I really do, folks. I mean, I am almost 2 months now without pain meds. And my girl even says that I seem better. Love you, Melissa. I started to get that shit. But she does. I have not, and I am anemic, so I am starting to take some iron pills, like one a day, And it seemed to help my fatigue a lot, because I guess you can get fatigued from what my doctor told me. But it's moving forward, and people are starting to see through a lot of the government bureaucracy and say, hey, wait a minute. Jobs smoked weed? Yeah, he did. He had issues, and he used it for cancer, and guess what? Well, he look at the company he created. Enough said. That's all there is. That's where we are. And we're in an age where I think we got to get past this stigmatism that you got to say, yeah, I support it. I don't care. And my girlfriend said this, and I just got to give her another shout out, because she's just an amazing woman and has a great heart and character. And she said this, and it's so true. She was, I like you because you have value. You stand up for what you believe in, and you don't find that anymore. A politician says one thing and does something else. Well, let me tell you something. That private Learjet, if you want to see a great movie that rings true to today, Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy, where he's a con that becomes a senator. And they're in the back room. I bought 40,000 copies of your boring autobiography so your kids could go to college. And they're all fighting and all this. And when they're done, like, what I said about your mom, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. She's a nice lady. And all the political games and the money, and why do you think a $100,000 person coming into office wants to stay there? Because of all the food. Why do you think tobacco lasted as long as it did where it was? Because they were pumping in millions of dollars. Hey, we gave you $400 million. You better not regulate tobacco. And they finally said enough's enough, And when court cases were coming down that were saying, hey, a stewardess on this plane never smoked a day in her life and has only one lung left, we gotta do something. So, and that's what's going on with marijuana prohibition. We're breaking away the light, and we're finally ripping it apart, and people are finally starting to see that, hey, why weren't we told about this? Why didn't we know? I mean, I've been shouting for years that an acre of hemp produces as much paper as 4 acres of trees. But why would the, when hemp is 100% cellulose and wood is 40% cellulose, let's use all these chemicals and crap that someone has to make that are toxic so that we can separate the pulp out from the wood so we can make paper. You can't support hemp, man. I make millions of dollars every year on these chemicals to help separate the pulp from the wood. Hey, it can make lumber too. Just like R.J. Reynolds is going to the Vuse digital paper cigarette, and they're starting to move a lot of their stuff into the digital age of smoking, you can do the same too. Just because, why don't you go into a processing plant to help process cannabis and turn it into the hempcrete and all these other products that can be used? The oil companies, yeah. Why don't you come to a ethanol plant and change and do stuff to make, instead of doing a, switch half your oil to hemp product? Why not? Instead of producing plastic, produce a biodegradable hemp plastic. It's way stronger and way more durable. Probably the reason why is because if you bought the stuff, it lasts so long you wouldn't need anything else. My rule, it's a cookware, copper-based cookware set, and the M250 set I want, it's like a 10-piece set, and it's 2.5 millimeters thick. It's a $2,000 cookware set. But you buy a set of cookware like that where it has cast iron handles and everything, that set will last you. I'll be able to pass that down to my kids, 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 or whoever. If I adopt a kid or whatever the case may be, it's something that will last for a long, long, long time. And I think that's the way cannabis is. You make that hemp biodegradable plastic, it could last a very, it'll last a very, very, very long time. And hemp is actually antimicrobial. If you make Band-Aids out of it, you don't need Neosporin. It's already antimicrobial on it. Slap that thing on there because it's all the CBDs and all the chemicals in it besides THC. If you couldn't get high from marijuana, it'd have been legal a long time ago. But since you can, the strains where you can get high and the strains you can't, they collide. And well, there's no real distinction between this one and this one because you could be growing the stuff that gets you high, but then it's the ones that don't. It's all, they're two totally different plants, but whatever. They've been just kind of lumped together and I've seen positive things in this country. I guess that's where we're going. We're seeing people, I think, starting to wake up and realize. That's why I'm glad Obama was president, because now people are starting to realize, hey, wait a minute here. They didn't like Bush and what he did and the way his party went, but then Obama isn't really any better. And I think people, I vote for a lot of, I love the independent libertarian people. I vote for a lot of them. I'm an American. I vote. If I like this person, I'll vote for him. If I think he's going to do the right thing and he is a Democrat, if he stands for principles and morals and values, and I believe that's, and he is someone that, I'm like a Tea Party person. I want to get this country going back in the right direction. Okay, I'll vote for you. I don't care if you whatever you associate with. I don't want to vote for a Republican because deep down he's a liberal progressive. Case closed. And then wrapping up this marijuana talk in a little bit. People, you gotta learn to grow up. Okay? You're taking morphine and I'm gonna use cannabis. What's the difference? Because I remember Irvin Rosenfeld was asked, well, what do your kids think? Da-da-da, and all this stuff. And they're saying, he goes, well, ma'am, just like you take Tylenol or aspirin, this is my medicine, and that's what they know it as. This is what I use to help me function every day and be here for them. It's not a drug to them. But then again, Tylenol's a drug, so hey, it's just what I use. It's not evil. It's not like, I hate when you see these people in the news where this person was taking all kinds of narcotics and antipsychotics and antidepressants and ADHD medications to control this child's problems, and one little a Hershey's Kiss made out of cannabis butter and cannabis chocolate cut into five pieces, and they have one of those pieces every 1 or 2 days, and that's all they take, and their kid is has no issues, and they want them thrown in jail. Where's Child Protective Services? But when you show then the pill bag of all the pills he was taking, why am I not being thrown in jail for all this? Oh, it's dangerous, but yeah, medications can kill you, but it's okay to have them legal, but whatever. It's nice to see people, and you gotta have, I'd rather have someone stand up for their convictions. This is what I stand for, and I disagree with it. Because at least I know, hey, he's a Republican. He basically wants this socialist agenda. Then I know where he stands instead of, we need to have smaller government. We need to have this. And then what happens? Who voted for the stimulus bill? All these stimulus bills? The same people that want smaller government. Gee. And that's what we're at, folks. As I end this marijuana thing, it's about morals and values in this country, and that's where we got to go forward. Morals and values. You don't have to agree with everyone on cannabis, but look at the facts. I don't just like with religion, I'm not giving you joints in here, light up. I take it in oil form anyways. And I use a vapor form, and the vapor form, what do they do? What are you going to do? Get CBDs, which kill cancer, which make you healthier? I don't know. I guess I get frustrated because there's so many people in this world that are just like, they don't care. They're never going to believe no matter what you tell them. Obama's the greatest thing since, like, no one is so dangerous. I'm like, well, okay. I'm going to hit you over the head so you don't remember that cue card that you have memorized. And I'm going to show you. And go from there. And let you see what's out there. Instead of just, well, the government says it's bad, so I have to believe it's bad, and yada, 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 yada. Now we're going to move on to something I rarely talk about in this program, boxing. I love boxing, especially when it involves Jeff Gordon and one of my own, Brad Keselowski. I have Polish in me, and so does he. And let me tell you something. What did Jeff Gordon do? He scratched Keselowski. What did Keselowski do? Punched him. Should they? NASCAR shouldn't get involved. I remember days where they're on their way to Victory Lane and there's pit crews fighting and getting into each other. It's going to happen, folks. It's racing. There's emotion. If they get way out of hand, and okay, this is a 15-minute fight and someone's, you know, gotten four teeth knocked out and the other guy's unconscious, then you need to step in before. But, you know, if they're going to fight, let them fight a little bit. Let them get into each other. Because that's what makes the sport exciting. What's going to happen next? Tune in next week to Phoenix International Speedway to find out round two between Jeff Gordon and Brad Keselowski. Okay, you get into this guy. If you bumped him out, there's a $25,000 fine. You do it again, you're going to be suspended. Let him fight. Let him get in. That's what makes it exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. I know what's not going to happen. Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon aren't going to get into each other because they're going to be suspended if they do. I understand if it's the 50th time that they've done it, and he's I'm going to make sure that Keselowski can never win a race, because I'm going to take his butt out, and I found out a way to do it so I don't go out. Then okay. Well, with Jeff Gordon, no, but Jimmy Johnson, hell, you should be able to take him out every race. Why not? That's fun. I don't even want to get into him, man. Ah, God. But that's racing. That's how this sport evolved. 1979, Daytona 500. There was a blizzard. Most people were stranded. They couldn't watch much on TV because they only had a couple channels. What they had, the Daytona 500. At the end of the race, two people got into it because one was going to win the race, and one guy took the other one out. And what did people do? Tuned in next week. What's going to happen? What do you mean? Why can't I get the... Because it wasn't until 1989 that they finally televised every race. But they wanted to tune in next week and find out what's going on. What's going to happen? Who's going to do what? NASCAR, I love it. The National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing that has no stock cars in it anymore. I always say that because they don't. But that was exciting. As long as it's not like drag out, kill each other, you know. Let them have their fun. And if it gets, and you say, okay, this is a line we're going to set in the sand where we're going to let them do what they're going to do. And if they cross this line, which is, wait, okay, yeah, he threw like six punches, knocked the guy completely out, hit his head. Okay, you know, nah. You know, Let them rough each other up a little bit. For a while there, I thought you were going to see the NASCAR people take off their thing and they have a skirt or panties on or something. Oh my God, he slapped him, Jimmy. Well, Brad Keselowski, the Polish guy, didn't slap him. He punched him. Like I remember this one guy, because they always have that joke, like, how do you get a one-handed pull-up out of a tree? And I said, you won't, because he'd take his legs, wrap them around your neck, and rip your head off. Man, that's not cool. I'm like, well, we're not going to wave. Get over it, buddy. Like, man, I'm like, yeah, I got Polish in me, and I'm proud of it. I got all kinds of stuff in me. Be proud of who you are, and be proud of your morals and what you stand up for. Even if there's going to be someone out there that disagrees with you, great. Stand up for it. I stand up for my Reds, not for what they stand for now, because the Reds got their nickname Manchester United because they used to wear plain red shirts. Not for getting red cards. Wayne Rooney and Smalling. They were ridiculous. You had no chance at the ball, and what did he do? He slides into the player. Yellow card. Why are you that close to the goalie when he's doing a goal kick? That's not even a question. That's going to be a yellow card every time. We were even at 11 apiece. We showed some chances of winning when we were 10 to 11, when we were uneven, because of you being thrown out of the game. We're 10th in the standings. It's little stupid, idiotic things like getting a red card that are costing us from probably being, I think we should be like 7th, honestly 7th, if it wasn't for some of these little piddly-ass mistakes. We're learning to play together. We're going to turn around. This team is getting better. But it's not going to keep getting better if idiots are doing red cards. All I can sit there is I think a patty in my head the whole time. Son, what are you thinking? What are you thinking being that close during a goal kick? It's going to be a yellow card. It'd be like grabbing the ball with your hands and, oh, I didn't know I'd get a handball. If it touches your arms, it's a handball, period. Let alone grabbing the thing. What are they thinking? I just got patty in my head, you know, the answer from Manchester. What you thinking, son? What you be thinking, son? Mr. Smalling, what are you thinking? Because that's how he'd be. I thought it was when Wayne Rooney got that red card. What are you thinking, son? Doing something like that. It's not even a... I mean, and these red cards and these yellow cards are so blatant and intentional, it's not even a question. Well, you couldn't even debate it when you see the video. Going, well, you know what? Well, if you look at the replay, it really shouldn't have been a yellow card. He could have hit the goalie. He was that close when he did the goal kick. I'd take Smalling. I'd say, okay, once you get out of your suspension, you're going down to the academy team. And when you learn how to play and know what a yellow card is and know how to not get it, then we'll talk. Then when you show your worth, we'll bring you back up here to the Premier League. But until now, you're going down to the academy. We're in the academy squad. Train with them. I think they should have something hooked up to the Manchester Gahan goalie and to him. And when he gets too close, he gets zapped. With an electric, like 224. Ah! Okay, see? This is a training thing. So you can... If you get closer when he does a goal kick than you're allowed to, it's going to zap you. Train you. Something. I mean, these yellow cards Manchester's have been getting in these last couple games, and the two red cards aren't even debatable. It's not like, well, if you look at the replay, he never really hit the guy. Just Wayne Rooney kicked. The only way you could have done what he'd done was intentionally. But I don't get it. I don't know. I like the way he's breaking in the Colts, so to speak. Vandegal is, but he's just got it. They're not disciplined. They're just making stupid errors that's costing us spots. But that's about my rant on Manchester United, folks. It really is. This has been a great, 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 great program, and I guess somebody one time goes, well, you sometimes like us, like there's pauses in between some of the things you say, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm like what, like if you belong to the Blaze or if you don't, you need to belong to the Blaze. And on Monday, he is going to have a special program, and you need to check the program out because it's going to be epic. I look at it as I don't know what he's going to talk about. I have a feeling he's like a depressed person somehow. Somehow I feel he's just like lost. Like, well, what can I do when 65% of the people do not want something and they ram it down our throats? How do we fix something? How do we change? How do we go? And I really think that's what he's going to talk about, Changing, because I believe, the Blaze is getting more away from politics and, trying to set a moral and value principle. Because we got to change this world, Like Matthew West says, I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And what did God say? He said, I did. I created you. It's a story about a lady that went to Uganda. And when she was at this academy for like this little orphanage for kids and they're being abused and beaten and all this, she called up her dad and says, I'm not leaving. I can't leave. He goes, you get on that plane now? She goes, no, I can't leave. And now she is a citizen of Uganda. And she pestered the government until they let them out of the orphanage. And now she runs one. She did something. She didn't shake her fist at heaven and say, God, why aren't you doing nothing? He said, I did. I created you. And you. This is our country, folks. Not the government's. It's ours. When the storm hits and we end up having a collapse of whatever, like the financial markets collapse or whatever, because if you follow precious metals, silver is now down to $15 an ounce. It plummeted by like 3%. It's getting. Do you buy it? Because it might go back up. Precious metals are right for me. I don't know about you, but they're right for me. But with all this economic turmoil, something's gonna happen. The balloon is being filled with air or helium, and it's eventually going to break. Something's going to happen, folks. And where do we go? Where do we go? This country is going to be defined on how we handle the storm that's coming. How we deal with it. If it comes, in whatever shape or form it comes. Colin couldn't tell you. I can't tell you. Sean Hannity couldn't tell you. But I believe something's coming. And but it's coming. And we're going to be judged by the content of our character. and how we move forward, how we change, how we react. And that's basically where we are. You got to stand up for what you believe, even if people think you're wrong. We aren't in this country. We aren't here today because someone said, you know what? I think we need to rely on England just to get us. No, they didn't rely on England. We're not going to have a government fund this hospital. We're going to go around and collect money from people, and we're going to start this hospital ourselves. Don't wait for change to happen, folks. Make it happen. Do something. Don't shake your fist to heaven and say, God, why don't you do something? He created you. He created you. Do something. Make it happen. This country is going to be fundamentally transformed. If you believe in something, go for it. Go for it. If you're passionate about skateboarding or darts or whatever, go for it. You know? If you're passionate about God, show it. Go for it. Let people know. If you feel that both parties are going in the wrong direction, do something. Say, hey, why do you think, in your opinion, that the country is going in one direction great with Republicans, one direction bad with Democrats? Okay, I've heard some of this. I mean, you know, why do you think that Democrats are so great and Republicans are so evil? Where do you get this idea that one party is better than the other? Because, tell them this, well, you know what? You should really trust. Well, then you stay trusting the government, you know. Talk to the Native Americans and they'll tell you how well the government was. You know, it worked for the Native Americans so well. And that's where I'm at, you know. That's what, you know, don't argue. Just say, hey, why do you feel this way? You know, there's a girl at work that doesn't believe in God. And all I could think of when I heard that was, oh, I'm just like, are you kidding me? All I can think of is Mark Lowry. There's a woman in my house. Lock the doors. She don't believe in God. She's an atheist. You know, I have one in my home. You know, the cosmic belt. You know, dismantle the watch, shake it up in a bag for 5 million years. You're not going to have a watch that works, folks. This complex, just look in someone's eyes. Give your girlfriend a kiss. That couldn't have been created by anything but God. And if you believe that, go for it. And seriously, I'm one of these people that look into it. Turn on CNN. Watch it for a little bit. See what Wolf Blitzer are saying. You know, see what people are saying. You know? See what Rachel Maddow is saying or what they're talking about. Have this transparent president who can do no wrong is not going to get any help from the Democrats. Well, sure he is. The Republicans are not going to work with him and stop him, and they're not going to, they're not, all they're going to do is try to take all this wonderful stuff that Obama's done and change it and get rid of it. They're not going to work. They're not progress. Even though the Republicans plan on getting the Keystone Pipeline going and getting rid of some of these tax codes and excessive regulations that are blamed for economic growth, hopefully it works. Hopefully these things work. Hopefully they do what they say. I just want to have a party that I can say, okay, we are the new American party. This is what we stand for. We stand for God. If you don't, that's fine. We're not, don't infringe on my rights, because this Constitution doesn't guarantee that you're not going to be offended, folks. It doesn't, you know, politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and frequently for the same reasons. And I hope I don't have to explain that to you. But that's where we're going, folks. We're moving forward. And you got to be there. Because something's coming. And how we change and how we handle the storm is going to depend on the content of our character. You don't just put food aside because you're paranoid. You put food aside for rainy days, for any emergency, power outages. I would assume if I lived in Florida, I would have some particle board set aside, thin particle board that I can use to nail over to put over the windows. I would assume I'd have a system set. I'm surprised they don't have like shades you can buy that you install that when a hurricane comes, you just lift this latch up and you unfold these four things and it covers the window and you put the latch in and it holds in place. That way you wouldn't have to buy wood all the time. Okay, we got a board up now. Well, I would think you would have something like, even if it's like a metal curtain like they have for like stores in the mall, you know, they just pull this thing down and it's like a garage thing and it prevents, you know, it helps protect the window from flying debris. It's not going to guarantee protect everything, but it's going to do something. You would think they would have something like that since that happens a lot in Hurricane Alley. You know, they'd be prepared. But I always see, maybe it's not practical. I have no idea. Maybe there's a reason why every time they have a hurricane, you can't find particle board at Lowe's because everyone's buying it up to board up their windows. Who knows? But that's where we are, folks. It's just one of those things that when you look forward, you got to know your past, or else you're going to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Know your history. That's why we have the Feast of the Hunter's Moon, and that even changes sometimes. About 60 seconds left, but it changes a lot because of that fact. Because we find out, well, hey, they didn't do this. They did that. This didn't happen. That happened. But we find out that they did this instead of that. I want to thank you for tuning into this hour-long program. Your time is not wasted, and I thank you for listening because it means a lot. And just remember, just remember, what do you believe in? What do you support? Who do you stand with? What are your principles? What are your morals? Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. And until next week, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.